I know that after service, everyone's going to ask, what was in the bag? What was in the bag? So I'm just going to answer real quick. A shoe, you got that. A ball of tape, you got that too. That was good. An apple, you got that, I think. Those were the three. A bag of flour. And you certainly have one of these at home, a girl walkie-talkie. It's unfair. Those were the words I just heard recently. It was about a week ago. And it wasn't as if I had done anything unfair. I was just trying to be a really good parent, buying goggles for our oldest child, Kaya. She's at the point where she can go underwater and she can swim and go underwater. So it just seemed right to get the goggles. The problem was there was another child that didn't get goggles. And so that's where the cry went up. It's not fair. Any good parent goes to work in that situation, don't we? And we try to make it fair and even. So as any good parent, we attempted to do this, and we got goggles for child number two, thinking that everything would be just fine and that there would be evenness and fairness. Just a couple days later, we heard the cry again. It's not fair. This time it was coming from our other daughter. You see, the goggles that we got, Claire, had pink designs on them and had blue glasses that made everything outside look blue, which was really, really cool and awesome. That's where the cry came. It's not fair. One thing I've learned in parenting, and I think many of you know, is that it's a losing battle. You're just always going to lose. There's no chance to win. And what I've also learned about parenting is that when you try to correct and make things fair and even for everyone, it actually throws everything in the opposite direction and makes it even unfair than what it was in the very beginning. It's unfair. How many people this morning have said those words in your life? Thank you. Yes. Honesty. It's important. You know what happens so often with those words, it's not fair, is the first thing we do is we compare ourselves to someone else's situation and what they have. That's the beginning of that statement. It's not fair. We compare. It's actually all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible that this happens. And it's just human nature. Here's some examples. Cain is born in the early part of Genesis. About Genesis chapter 6, I believe that's where Cain is. Maybe it's Genesis 4. You can look it up later. But Cain is born, and his name in the Hebrew actually means a man of the Lord. Adam and Eve loved and cherished Cain, their firstborn son. What a special position that he had. But then guess what? Child number two comes. Abel. And you see, Abel's got some special traits that he has. And Cain looks at Abel, and he pulls out his calculator and sees, he estimates what he has, and he compares with what Abel has, and he basically lodges the complaint, it's not fair, and so he takes things into his own hands, literally, to really make things more fair. Take Esau and Jacob, a little bit later in Genesis. It's all throughout the Bible. This phrase, although it's not there in the Bible, it's all throughout. It's not fair. Esau is born, and his parents, especially his father, Isaac, loves him very much. What a great child Esau is. He's athletic, he captures game, he brings it back, makes me stews. He's a special guy. Esau should have felt good about himself, but he pulled out the calculator and compared himself to his brother Jacob. And he saw that it didn't come out to his liking, so he basically lodged the complaint. It's not fair. Esau lived with kind of a grudge in his heart throughout his entire life. All throughout the Bible, all throughout society and community. Many people living with that phrase, it's not fair. Martin Luther, in his explanation of the seventh commandment, actually says we should live the exact opposite. This is stunning what he says, actually, if you think about it. Luther says that when we get to a point and we compare ourselves to another person, Luther says in his explanation, he says, don't say it's not fair, they've got more. Luther says this, do the exact opposite. Look at what your neighbor has and protect what they have, and even try to increase what your neighbor has. Increase their reputation, their possessions. That's the seventh commandment. Not, it's not fair. It's, how can I protect what my neighbor has, his reputation, his possessions? That's easier said than done, because a sister gets goggles that has pink designs. It's easier said than done because that neighbor, he gets that awesome car that's loaded and goes on an amazing vacation. It's easier said than done because we do compare and look and we lodge that complaint. It's not fair. You know, when we get to that point and we live a life of expressing, it's not fair, I've been wronged, you know, it's like getting stuck. We're stuck, and it only gets worse. Have you ever been stuck in life? It's not a good feeling. When I came to Philomath 5 years ago, I got stuck. Everyone said, it never snows here. Never. It snowed. I think it snowed 3 times that winter. And so coming from Florida, you know, I had forgotten how to drive in snow, and I got stuck. And of course, I did what natural instincts do for men. I punched the gas pedal. That gets you unstuck. And it got me angrier and angrier, and it got me more stuck. Some nice person along Applegate said, sir, you look stuck. Can I help you push your car out of the way? No, I'm going to try really putting the pedal down. Putting the pedal down always makes things better in life, doesn't it? So I put the pedal down. More stuck I became, and the more angry I became. That's what happens when we live a life with nothing more than it's not fair. We go to work and try to compensate and figure it out. Well, what happens is we overcompensate and we make life unfair for somebody else. Or we go to work and we try to make things fair for ourselves, but we make it even more unfair than it was in the very beginning. So a lot of people today live by this bumper sticker, right? Life's not fair. Maybe you've seen a bumper sticker. That's the philosophy to live by. Well, friends, this morning I have got an encouraging word for you. We can live the exact opposite. We can live a life that is fair and a life that is healthy. Fair and healthy. Let's let the scriptures speak into our lives this morning. How's that possible? Well, this morning in our gospel text, we have two ladies that I want to pinpoint and highlight details in which life had been very unfair. Did you catch the details? One of them was, the first one was a young girl. She's 12 years old. She's the only daughter of Jairus. He's an elder in the synagogue. He had clout in the community in Jerusalem. Everyone knew who he was. And yet this girl, she's at the point of death. She's very close. And because she has social connections, or her father does, she gets an appointment with Jesus. That's pretty special. She gets the appointment with Jesus. But Jesus is delayed, and he goes off in some other, he goes off and cares for somebody else, and the child dies. See, this is the perfect opportunity for this family and for this little girl to stand up and say, it's not fair. When my dentist called me 2 weeks ago and said, your July 11th appointment is canceled, I said, that's not fair. That's not my fault. That's what's happened to this girl. An appointment with Jesus. Jesus is not on time. And then the other woman, she doesn't even have a name. She has no clout in the community at all. She's spent all her means. Mark's the way he gives a description of this woman. He's heaping up adjectives to bring pity for this woman. She's had a rough life. She spent all her money for 12 years on this medical problem that she has, a discharge of blood. And she's at the end of her rope. She's tried everything, and she doesn't have any money. She would never get an appointment with someone like Jesus. She's the exact opposite of the other woman. You know, she would be a perfect candidate to stand up and say, life is not fair. You know what happens in this text, Mark 5? I believe both women had a change of heart, and they realized that life is fair and healthy. Jesus gave them restoration, gave them the promise of eternal life, A promise of God's connection to them. It's right there. Dear friends, I don't know where you're at here this morning with "it's not fair" and that little phrase in your life. Maybe you connect with the young girl and her family. Something's happened. It's taken away something very valuable in your life, and you're feeling that your life is kind of like her life. Or maybe you resonate with the woman who's had 12 years and is at the very end with the disease that she has, and she has no finances. She doesn't know where to go. The first thing that we do this morning, the application we can take home is this: to not compare our struggles with anybody else. Everyone here has struggles and hurts and pains, and they're different for each person. But the second thing, friends, is that we come to the realization that Jesus, life has become unfair for Jesus. What am I talking about? Well, actually, it's found here in this text. Really important. It's not mentioned in Mark's text, but this is what he's talking about here. You see, Jesus touches or is touched by both of these women. Why does that matter? Why is that even a detail in the text? Well, here's the thing. The one woman comes up and she touches Jesus' garment. And why is that such a big deal? Well, here it is. Numbers chapter 19 says this: anyone who has a discharge of blood that touches another person, they have made that other person unclean, and they should go off away from society and other people for many, many days so that they can be made clean. It's right there in the Bible. Actually, Leviticus chapter 19 is where that's found. Jesus, when he's touched by this woman, doesn't say, "Oh my goodness, life is unfair for me." The unfair person in Mark 5 is Jesus. Jesus has care for the woman. The other little girl, she's dead. And according to the book of Numbers, you should never touch a dead body. In fact, if you do, you should be away from the community for many days and many weeks. Jesus touches the little girl. He takes on the trouble, sorrow, and burden of these women. Jesus could easily stand up and say, "It's unfair that I touched her because now I should be away from the community." We don't know much about Leviticus and Numbers, but the crowd there knew these texts right there. And when Jesus was touched and he touched this little girl, they must have had their mouths open. But Jesus' concern is not so that life is not so much so that he's seen as life is unfair for him. You see, Jesus is about making a connection for these women and giving them health and restoration. Now back to us. I don't know where you're at here this morning. Some of you could say life's been unfair for this reason or that reason, and that's okay. The first thing we do is we steer clear of comparing our situations, but here's the second thing. Friends, good news, the best news you'll hear all year. Jesus comes here this morning to touch you. The health and restoration that these two women got are the same health and restoration Jesus promises you. He's here in the body and in his body and blood to touch you. You receive his eternal life, his restoration. You know what he receives? Power goes out of him. What he receives is our sin, our burden, our troubles. But Jesus came not to say, "It's unfair what's happened to me." He didn't do that. He came so that you could have those perfect gifts in your life. Well, in our household, we've realized a plan for dealing with our children. If you have a plan for dealing with fairness and equality, come talk to me, because we are still learning as parents. But here's our plan. What we do is we buy two of the same gift. If there is a birthday, we make sure that the other one gets a gift. If there's one of the children that gets a prize, we make sure the other gets to take home a prize. Everyone wins, right? We make fun of that. But that's the way to keep the peace in the household. If you've got another plan, come talk to me. I want to hear about it. Isn't that the way God deals with us, his children? He blesses each one of us with gifts. And he's given each one of us the greatest gift, his son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. He's given that gift to you. Life is fair. Life is healthy because of Jesus. So let's flip the narrative of the community and the world.
It's not healthy to live.
It's not fair. What if our community lived by protecting our neighbor's possessions, their reputation, and what they had? That, my friends, would be a huge shift in the direction of Jesus' kingdom. May that dwell on our hearts as we receive his gifts, his touch today at peace. Amen.